Today I'm going to be talking about the mental health consequences of HIV/AIDS and substance users, the mitigating effects of physical health status, social support, and substance use. And advances in medical treatment for individuals with HIV have significantly prolonged the lives of those individuals. But because people are living longer, they're also more vulnerable to multiple social and emotional issues. And it's evidenced by the high rates of mental health problems and substance abuse issues within this population. For example, a study conducted by Burnham in 2001 with nationally representative sample of HIV-positive individuals, over 60% reported either utilizing substance abuse or mental health treatment services. And probably even more relevant to this particular study, as it was conducted in the Southeast, a study by Pence and colleagues found that, that 60% were either diagnosed with either a mental health problem or a substance abuse problem. So, today I'm going to talk about the prevalence of mental health problems in a sample of HIV-positive individuals with substance abuse problems, also the impact of social support and other coping mechanisms on mental health status, the relationship between mental health problems and physical health, substance abuse, and social support over time, and the role substances play as a coping mechanism for HIV-positive individuals with substance use problems. So, as I'm sure everyone in this room knows, that substance use can be both a cause and a consequence of HIV disease. Individuals may be directly infected through intravenous drug use or may participate in risky behaviors as a result of use of substances. Also, individuals may use substances to cope with living with HIV disease. Also, substance use can exacerbate emotional distress. Multiple studies have found that alcohol and drug use are a source of non-adherence to antiretroviral medications, which require strict adherence to those regimes in order to be effective. And also, alcohol dependence may accelerate HIV replication. And living with HIV disease, we know that individuals have a higher risk for depression and anxiety, as well as suicide. It is a significant source of chronic stress, ongoing stress, which may exacerbate normal feelings of depression and anxiety. Unfortunately, it still is a very highly stigmatizing disease, which can result in loss of social support networks. That may be a result of individuals pulling away from their social support networks, or it may be actually the loss of those relationships due to HIV infection. And social support, in many studies, in many arenas, we know that social support can reduce levels of emotional and psychological distress, and it can work through a few different mechanisms. We know that ongoing chronic stress ultimately, in most cases, leads to mental distress, which may lead to mental health problems, but social support can act as a buffer to that stress to prevent the negative outcomes, the negative mental outcomes. Additionally, social support networks may actually prevent a person from being exposed to as much stress. So those are two mechanisms in which social support may work to reduce mental distress, and it may work in both ways. It may deter and buffer simultaneously. So the objective of our study was to examine the prevalence of mental health problems and to explore the relationship between mental health and physical health status, social support, and substance use among a sample of HIV-positive substance users over time. And so the data that we used was, they were from a 5-year study of the effectiveness of enhanced substance abuse services for individuals with HIV and a co-occurring substance abuse problem. The data were collected in the Charlotte, North Carolina Metropolitan Statistical Area, which includes many counties, including a few in South Carolina, so it's about 13 counties, I believe. So clients were interviewed at intake, 6 months and 12 months for this enhanced substance abuse services, and they were given this, a SAMHSA instrument was administered by a clinician trained to administer the instrument. In addition to the SAMHSA questions, we also enhanced the instrument to include some social support items and some items on medication adherence. And as of the current analysis, we have data from 302 clients at intake, 197 at 6 months, and 163 at 12 months, which gives us a response rate of 77% at 6 months and 63% at 12 months. And the data, we're still collecting data. So we're pretty pleased with the response, the follow-up. So our sample is largely African American, over half are male. The majority are disabled and poor. 46% with less than a high school education and relatively low health status. And the majority are stably housed, which is positive. And looking at the behavioral data over time from intake to 12-month follow-up, there were a lot of exciting things happening. There was a reduction in the use of alcohol and illegal drugs. 80% reported use at intake, and a reduction to 42% at 12 months. And decreased non-adherence to medications, 54% were non-adherent at intake versus 30% at 12 months. Improvements in health status, so 25% reported poor health at intake versus only 16% at 12 months. And probably, well, of most interest in this particular study, the decreased mental health problems. And to go into a little bit more detail about the reduction in mental health problems over the course of the study, clients were asked if they had experienced any of the symptoms, serious depression, anxiety, or trouble understanding, concentrating, or remembering in the past 30 days. And at intake, an overwhelming 72% had experienced depression in the last 30 days. But as you can see over time with all three of these categories, there are pretty important and significant reductions, approximately 20% reductions in each, around 20% reductions for each category between intake and 12 months. And we also created a summary measure of mental health problems. So this included the total number of days the respondents experienced either serious depression, anxiety, or trouble understanding, concentrating, or remembering. So it's an additive scale with a range of 0 to 90. And at intake, the number of days average was 34.7, 6 months 29.2, and 12 months 17.3 or 4, which actually represents a reduction in 17.3 days over the 1 year period. So clearly, mental health problems in this particular sample are endemic. Over 88% had experienced some type of mental health problem in the past 30 days. We did have a reduction to 75.6% at 6 months, but that's still an overwhelming majority of individuals that are experiencing mental health problems. And we found that whites and women had significantly more mental health problems in this sample. And although mental health problems were endemic, very few were receiving treatment, unfortunately. Very few were prescribed medications, and incredibly few were receiving formal treatment, whether it was inpatient, outpatient, or emergency treatment for mental health problems, only 6.6% at 6 months. So regarding social support, we basically looked at partner social support and friends and family social support, and at baseline, only 38.1% had a main partner, but of those that did, 77% reported that this person helped them cope with HIV. Most did feel close to or received help or could talk to either family or friends. We created a summary measure of the family friend social support items with a range of 0 to 6 with a mean of 4.27 at intake, which then increased to 5.08 at 12 months. Most respondents reported that they had disclosed to their friends and or their family, and most also reported that their family and or friends have substance abuse problems, which then presents the potentially negative effects of social relationships on health outcomes. So our research hypotheses, we hypothesized that greater social support will be related to diminished mental health problems at intake. And number two was that increases in social support will be related to decreases in mental health problems over time. So the data analysis, for the first hypothesis, we used ordinary least squares regression analysis of sources of mental health problems at intake. So this was a cross-sectional analysis. And for the second, we used a fixed effects model to examine within-person differences in mental health problems and social support over time. So this is the longitudinal piece. So at intake, with our first hypothesis, our bivariate analyses, we found that social support was negatively related to days respondents experienced mental health problems at intake, meaning that those with more social support experienced fewer days of mental health problems. And we also found that social support was positively related to better physical health, so those with more social support were also reporting better physical health. And the results of the regression We looked at race, gender, living situation, education, employment, physical health status, and social support on the days of mental health problems at intake, and found that greater social support was the only significant predictor of fewer days of mental health problems. And physical health status was the next best predictor, but it was not significant. So looking at the mental health over time, with our second hypothesis, we found that increases in friends and family social support was associated with a decrease in days of mental health problems, and both alcohol and drug use, increases in alcohol and drug use, were associated with an increase in days of mental health problems. And housing, employment, general health, and the interaction terms between gender and social support were not significant. And actually, using the fixed effects model, we had an N of 219. Any respondent that had more than one data collection point, we were able to use in the analysis. So we had data, we used data from intake 6 months and 12 months. And we found that an increase in one in the friends and family social support measure was associated with a 2.29 decrease in days of mental health problems, and it was significant. And again, both the alcohol and drug use increases was associated with an increase in mental health problems, with a one-day increase in alcohol use associated with a 0.63-day increase in mental health problems, whereas drugs was associated, one extra day was associated with a 0.77 increase in days of mental health problems. So our critical findings, it should be noted that the findings that we're presenting today are slightly different from the ones in our abstract, because those, you know, it was preliminary analyses that we created our abstract from. So these are slightly different, just to warn you, but with more data. And So in the sample of HIV-positive individuals with substance abuse problems, mental health problems are common, definitely, and very few individuals were receiving mental health treatment. Social support was predictive of days of mental health problems, both cross-sectionally, and specifically family-friend social support was associated with mental health problems over time. The partner social support was not, which I meant to mention earlier, but it was not. It was only family-friend social support over time. So greater social support is related to better physical health, and increases in days of drug and alcohol use are related to increases in mental health problems over time. Therefore, it appears that substance abuse does not seem to help HIV-positive substance abusers cope with mental distress. And the implications, clearly with the high prevalence of mental health, co-occurring mental health and substance abuse problems, substance abusers should be screened for mental health problems. And interventions designed to improve social support may help reduce mental health problems among HIV-positive substance abusers. And if we're able to reduce the days of drug and alcohol use through substance abuse treatment, then we may also be able to reduce mental health problems in this population. So limitations, we're still collecting data, so these results are still preliminary. Our sample was small, and it's certainly not representative of the entire HIV treatment population. It was from a pretty small regional area, so surely there are differences due to that. The data are self-reported, so respondents may tend to report in socially desirable ways. So, but in conclusion, we still have a good bit of work to do, and thanks for your attention, and any suggestions, I guess, we'll take questions at the end. So, thank you.